Rescue My Darling from the Lions. Lesson aims, three aims, to see that we can leave our enemies in the hand of God and trust the Lord to fight against them that fight against us. Thank you so much. Then to learn that we must not retaliate for problems in our own strength, but look to the Lord for deliverance. Then thirdly, to understand that the word of Christ on Calvary reveals to, that the work of Christ on Calvary reveals to us the heart of God and the great love that he has for us. Rescue my darling from the lions. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. David here praying to God after his enemies had done much against him. And David prays, Lord, how long are you going to watch? How long are you going to let this happen? And then David cries out that the Lord would indeed intervene. And what a blessing it is, the truth to know that you and I do have a God that cares for us. And he cares about our needs. And that we indeed can go to him and that he does care for us personally. The Lord knows my name. The Lord knows who I am. When this world today would have our God, their God would be themselves in the world. The world today does not understand how big our God really is. When we tell them, they say, what kind of a nut are you? You really believe that God created all this? Yeah, I don't believe it happened on its own. You know, scientifically, things don't happen on their own, do they? There has to be a cause. There has to be something. And we know that there's a great God in heaven that has set things in order, and one of those things being ourselves. We can go to him. He cares for us. He cares for us. As we consider lesson 11, we consider the 35th Psalm. Then we move forward 1,000 years, and we stand at the foot of the cross, and then we consider the Lord Jesus Christ. So consider the 35th Psalm, then we consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Many similarities we see throughout this chapter of what David went through, of what the Lord also would go through some 1,000 years later. Psalm 35, verse 17, we read, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. Here's a desperate cry for help from one of God's children. A desperate cry for help. Lord, help. Lord, help. Desperate cry on the part of the psalmist David. And this here is a prayer to the Lord. It's a prayer to the Lord. This darling that we see here in verse 17, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. This darling is my one self. My one soul. David's praying, Lord, I'm about to be overcome. Lord, would you rescue me from what is going on around me? From what the evil people have come upon me to do to me. Remember David, of course, King Saul was after David at one point in his life, wasn't he? And then as David got older, many would rise up against him to try to destroy him. But David had the blessing of being able to go to the God of heaven and cry out his need. So this, my darling, is my one self. My one soul. This is David. David's praying, and he's praying to the Lord. That's a place to take our needs, isn't it? That's a place to take our needs. Last week, I'd gotten home, and Mrs. Ravitt was asleep, and I had my Bible open. I was talking to the Lord about a need. And I thought, Lord, I've tried to figure this out. I put these hands to work, and I just can't do this. And I knelt there next to the ottoman, and I said, Lord, I've thought every way I could. I've dreamed and I've everything, and I'm coming up short on this. And I just knelt there and I said, Lord, help me. Help. The very next morning, I immediately started to see the Lord's answer. What a blessing that was. And throughout the next couple of weeks, I look forward to seeing the total answer. But, you know, that's when the Lord starts working. That's when we can see his work the most, when we're up against it. And I'm sitting there thinking, Chris, there's got to be something you can do. You got to be able to do something here. And I thought, Lord, I can't, I don't know of anything I can do here but come to you. And we can cast our cares upon him. 1 Peter 5:7, can't we? Why? Tell me. Because he cares for us. That's why we can cast our cares upon him. Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is there. He's ready to answer. David knew it. Encouraged by David's life. They say misery loves company. I'm not sure if that's a biblical principle. But we see that David had come up short many times in his life. And then we realize that David got forgiveness when he went to the Lord. And what a blessing it is for us that when we come up short, our sins of commission, our sins of omission, when we come up short, when we come up in sin, we can go to the Lord and he's there. And it doesn't matter what the sin was. David's sin was unto death. Was unto death. When he had taken another man's wife and had that man killed. That was a requirement under the law. He was to die. And yet God forgave him. He went to the prophet. He confessed his sin. And the prophet said, thou shalt not die. God had forgiven him. What a loving God we have. What a mighty God that he wrote the rules. And he is God. And he can do what he wants to in our lives. We serve a great God. Here we see this is a prayer to the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We can take our cares to the Lord. We can take our cares to the Lord. Matthew 6:32. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Matthew 6:32. The Lord knows. We don't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I got to tell you something here. Lord said, I didn't know that. No, he doesn't say that, does he? Prayer isn't so much about us informing God of what's going on. Prayer is us realizing who God is and how big he is and how much that he loves us. That's what prayer is. Prayer is we bring our wants, our cares, our desires to the Lord. And we see what a big God we really have. Bible college years ago, you have these pastors that will raise up these young men to go out and serve the Lord and live for him. And said that the pastor would slip in the back door of his graduates' churches and sit back where Tracy's sitting. And would slip in at the end of the service just wanting to get in there at the very end. Or not at the end of the service, but just before the service started. So he would be undetected, and he wanted to see how big his preacher boy's God really was. He just wanted to be in there in a regular service and see that young man up at the pulpit, how big his God really was. We have a big God today. God can take care of our sickness. God can take care of needs in our minds. God can take care of that. Probably the biggest battle that I fight is a battle for the mind. And the Lord will help us with that. The Lord will help us with that if we'll but take it to him. The psalmist begins in verse 1. Fight against them that fight against me? This is Monday's question, by the way. This is Monday's question. Fight against them that fight against me. I'm going to go through these questions as we go. So watch them as we go. Monday's question. Whom does David pray for the Lord to fight against? Fight against them that fight against me. There are times to pray this. Which side of the fight are you on? If someone dares to pray, God, fight against them that fight against me, would you be fighting with God or would you be fighting against God? I'm sure many pastors have prayed, Lord, fight against them that fight against me in hard times. And the people God was fighting against was people in his own church. People in his own church. I left home at the age of 15 for the final time. Lived with pastors, and first number of years of my life, I lived with pastors. And you know, it's amazing how the people that hurt the pastors the most are their head deacons, people that they've served with, people that they've been on the battlefront with. So when someone prays that, Lord, fight against them that fight against me, we need to be careful, make sure we're on the right side. We need to make sure we're on the right side. I always try to lean as heavily as I can to the man of God and his side as much as I possibly can. But it just seems like being on the Lord's side and the Lord's man's side is just seems to be the place of blessing. The Lord is mighty in battle. He fights for his people. Psalm 35, let's read, starting in verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to our life's problems. Exodus 14:14. Right after Exodus 14:13, obviously, when the people of the Lord had come up against the body of water, and they looked up front and there was water, and they looked in the back and it was the Egyptians, and they thought, we are done. It's all over for us now. This is it. You brought us out here, now we're going to die right here in front of this body of water. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. What a blessing. What a blessing to hear that said and then to see it happen. And they watched as God destroyed the Egyptians. What a powerful God we have. And then Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. We always want to make peace. We always want to do it ourselves. And we ought to do what we can. But ultimately, it's when we rest in the Lord and let him fight for us. That's where the answer is, to let him do the work. Psalm 35:2, take hold of shield. Hear David praying to the Lord, crying out for the Lord to bless and meet the needs and take care of the problems. Now let us consider the heart. The heart. The heart of the wicked, the heart of David, and then the heart of God. The heart of the wicked. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 35:4-8. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares. And let his net that he hath hid catch himself in that very destruction, let him fall. Hear David crying to the Lord. Lord, many men have done things against me. Lord, intervene and let the mischief they had laid up for me, let them fall into that themselves. Let them fall into that themselves. The heart of the wicked. Notice what the Bible says in Tuesday. The question for Tuesday, Tuesday's question, what does David believe God is able to do? Let the wicked man's hand be caught in his own net. Be caught in his own net. Lord, let that destruction come upon them themselves. Let him be trapped in his own trap. In similar fashion, Paul wrote of Alexander in 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith, did me much evil, the Lord reward him according to his works. The Lord reward him according to his works. Our works are not part of our salvation, but our works will be in heaven. Don't know how long they're going to make it when the furnace fires up. Some of the things that we attempt are in our flesh. And when the furnace fires up and our works go in, what's coming out? The gold, the silver, and the precious stones. That's what's coming out. The wood, hay, and the stubble, the things done in the flesh aren't coming out. They're going to be consumed in the fire. But we're going to have those things to present to the Lord. So our works are going with us. You can't take it with you? Yes, you can. You can lay it up in heaven. Lay it up in heaven. We can do that. We can lay up those treasures. The heart of the wicked. Lord, destroy them. We need to allow the Lord to fight for us. We need to pray as David prayed. Oh, Lord, fight against them that fight against me. And you know the Lord is a lot more able to take care of things. When we stand back and we let the Lord work and we think, Lord, it's just amazing. You just took care of that so neatly. And I could have schemed all day long and never pulled that out of my hat. The Lord is good. The Lord loves us. The Lord wants to bless our lives. The Lord has a plan for each of our lives. Then secondly, the heart of David. Verses 9, 10, and 11. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Things that I knew not. We think of David. They were making up things. Things he'd never heard about. What are you talking about? I didn't do that. I didn't say that. They did that to the Lord, didn't they? They did that to the Lord. He was accused. He was mocked. Guilty of none of it. Guilty of none of it. Yet they did that. They did that to our Lord as well. The heart of David. Much of the Lord's work has been hindered by God's people trying to fight their own battles. We've got to let the Lord fight the battles, don't we? It's easier on us. When we can't sleep at night, we got to take these things to the Lord. We got to take our heaviness to the Lord. We got to take our concerns and our desires to the Lord. David was not a coward by any stretch of the imagination. He was certainly a valiant man. He was a valiant man. He took on a lion and a bear with his bare hands by the grace of God. And God wrought the victory those days. Those are preparation for a bigger animal. Those are preparation for Goliath, weren't they? That was preparation. The heart of David was right. It was right before God, and God blessed David mightily. Yet when the wicked sought to harm him, he said, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee?" Mueller used to write down, pastors told us, all the blessings that God had given, all the answers to prayer. I tend to forget them. I don't write them down, and I tend to forget them. And it's a shame that we don't have those, because sometimes when we're up against it, it's nice just to see what God did in the past. What God did in the past. And I can remember some things. I'm sure you can too. But remembering the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. Following along in your lesson. In this psalm, David quotes a portion of the Song of Moses. We read of the song in Exodus 14:29. We're not going to turn there today. Exodus 14:29 through 15:11. The Israelites were delivered by a strong hand of a mighty God. They were delivered. The Egyptians died in the water that day. They were gone, never to be seen again. Wednesday's question, what did Moses and the children of Israel do after God's great deliverance? What'd they do? They sang. They sang. They praised the Lord. They glorified the Lord. They looked at what a mighty God he was and what a mighty deliverance they had just stood and watched and witnessed. David said, I'm not going into this fight by myself. I'm not going to take this matter into my own hands. I'm going to do as Moses and the children of Israel did. When the Lord delivered them, our hearts should be filled with thoughts of God's power and his deliverance. Thursday's question, according to Psalm 35, 9 to 10, what did David do when God sent him deliverance? Our hearts should be filled with thoughts of God's power and his deliverance. Rejoice and give God praise. Thursday's question. Many Christian men and women have been ruined by retaliating when attacked. How many of you watch hockey? Who gets called? The guy that does it or the guy that retaliates? The guy that retaliates. That's the guy that gets called a lot of times. And you think, wait a minute. Didn't you see what he just did? No, he didn't see it. But he saw this one. And they always get the guy that retaliates. His is always more visible. We've got to be careful with retaliation. David was careful. David prayed to the Lord for the retaliation. Many Christian men and women have been ruined by retaliating. Notice the secret of the psalm. The very thing that David faced was the thing that made him a great man. The very heavy thing that he faced was what made David a great man. It was all in the way he faced it. It was all in the way he faced it. How do we face things? Do we face them in faith? Or do we face them with our works, with our hands, with the things that we can do? David faced them in faith. Then thirdly, the heart of God. The heart of God. Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider what the Lord went through, lest we be wearied at what we're going through. David here going through a lot. We need to consider what the Lord went through so that we don't be weary. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him. Consider him. As we read the psalm, we think of the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, we read, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. I didn't do them. Our Lord faced false witnesses as well. Psalm 35, verses 12 through 28. As we consider that, we look beyond David to the Son of Man that would be wrongly accused of many things and yet would still die. Jesus Christ came to the earth to do one thing, to make me right with the Holy God, to make you right with the Holy God, to prepare a way for you, if you'll but trust him, that he will indeed save you and make us right before a holy God. Then this darling the Lord, this is Friday's question. Let some of the key expressions speak prophetically of what Christ's enemies did to him. This darling the Lord. Some would say this to be prophetical. I do not see the evidence of that here. I think this darling is David himself. His very person, his very being is about to be overwhelmed, and he cries out to a mighty God. I think this darling here that we see here in the lesson, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions. My darling from the lions. My darling is my one self, my one soul. David here is praying, this darling is his very being, his very existence. Lord, I'm about to be destroyed. So I do not see this to be prophetical, although there are certainly many similarities between what David went through and what Christ would go through. One of the big differences I see is David prayed for retaliation, not by himself, but by the Lord. Jesus Christ never prayed that. Never prayed that. No retaliation. Total forgiveness of all of them, right then, right there. Total forgiveness. So I personally would not see this to be prophetical. Although anytime we're in the Old Testament, we're looking forward to what? Jesus Christ in the New Testament, aren't we? So he's certainly there, and there's certainly many similarities. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. What a blessing. He gave himself to be crucified. He gave himself to the will of the Father. He submitted himself. He surrendered his will to the will of the Father. Not my will, but thine will be done. Salvation for mankind. We fought Peter that day because he took out a sword and defended his Lord. I'm afraid I'd have done the same thing. God had a plan for mankind, and he had to die to accomplish it. Sin had to be paid for. Sin had to be covered and conquered. And Jesus Christ did that. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. My salvation was when Jesus Christ died before the foundation of the world. He allowed himself to become helpless. You want to know about the heart of God? Look to Jesus Christ. See his son. See what his son did for you and I. For no gain of his own. What he did for me. What he did for you. Everything that David prayed, God would deliver him from, Jesus Christ delivered himself to. David prayed, Lord, deliver me from this, from this. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this. The Lord Jesus Christ was destroyed. Why? Because he loved us. And we had sin that needed to get dealt with, and all of our dealings were going to leave us short before a holy God. They say, you Christians, you're God. You got a bloody gospel. It was 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ came. Is our God a God of love? Yes. He's a God of love. He sent his only son to die for us. To die for us. He's a God of love. Everything prayed that David prayed, God would deliver him from, Jesus delivered himself to. Rescue my darling from the lions. For David, God did. God did rescue David. As David poured out his soul to God, God rescued David. 1,000 years later, Jesus Christ wasn't rescued. He wasn't rescued. He took it all himself. He took it all. But for David's son, God did not. He did not rescue him so that he might call out, so that we might call out to him now and be rescued ourselves. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and our sins can be forgiven. Saturday's question, notice the expression, Psalm 35, 17, my darling. Who is this darling? Again, it's David pouring out his heart to God. My very one self is about to be destroyed. Lord, please help me. And the Lord did. And then God's only son, Jesus Christ, would come. And that darling would not be delivered. That darling would die. The Lord is good. The Lord has a plan for each one of us whereby we will honor and glorify his name and his son. May we seek to do that in our lives. Thank you so much for coming today. Hope you find these lessons to be a blessing. A new series is coming in on 1 John 5. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to learning a little more about the Holy Spirit and what he can do in our lives. Thank you so much.